Tonight is Sunday, the 29th of August, 2004, and this Sunday night speakers meeting of Narcotics Anonymous welcomes our second speaker, Andrew.
Good evening. I'm an addict, and my problem is Andrew.
Hi, Andrew.
And thank Jim for inviting me to come over here and share with you tonight. It's a nice, cozy little group. It's got, you know, good warm vibe to it. My clean date is October the 12th of 1994, and my home group is the Toluca Lake Men's Meeting on Wednesday night, where it's basically a step study, which is important to my recovery today. It's interesting to be here in the physical sense, in that my story in recovery began very near here. My bottom actually was in this city and in Venice, and if you've been around a while, you may know of a gentleman named Whitey, actually 12-stepping on Venice Beach back in, well, almost Christmas time, 1984. And it's just, it's kind of eerie, you know, when he'd asked me to speak and he told me the address of this one here, in the midst of a dream cycle, somewhere in the last week or so, that all came up. And it was interesting how you were saying that, you know, items from our past bubble to the surface and give us new awareness and new awakening to the people that we are and that we can become. And that's very important to be in touch with today. I pretty much have come kind of full circle in the last like 9.5 years. You know, when I first got to recovery, I got the very intense introduction to the 12 steps, and I got a very concentrated first couple of years in recovery, and as a result my ego recovered faster than my spirit did, and I rode the pink cloud of recovery for a number of years, and my disease came out in my practicing how to dismantle my program to find the breaking point, which came at around 5 years and 9 months. I know today that I've had a God in my life for many, many years because of all the experiences that I survived that had to be by divine intervention. And as a result of my relapse, it took 3 years to make it back here. And I know again that there was a God the whole time walking with me through that. And I've taken that experience into this period of recovery to understand that when they say that, well, we have the daily reprieve, I appreciate that each and every morning that I wake up and draw my first breath for the day and come to understand that I've been given another gift of the day. And I get the opportunity to become, you know, the person that God intended of me as long as I stay in the now and present enough to learn the lessons that He's offering me for that day. And that is honestly the way that I treat each and every day that I start. And for the most part, I end my day with my 10th step. And most days, I count my blessings and I don't beat myself up. You know, I've learned a few lessons during the day. I usually don't act out greatly in my disease. I'm at the place that I've come to. And that is a direct result of working the steps in order with a sponsor who understands and has practiced the steps, who also has a sponsor who understands and practices the steps. And with that core group of men, I have an inner circle of people who have lived a cumulative total of 117 years of recovery that I get to draw upon every Wednesday night. And I bring the questions and the life lessons that I'm looking at learning to that group, and my self-honesty is such that I open up in that group and bear all, no matter how embarrassing or painful or ridiculous it may seem to me in between my years, because my committee can tell me and has told me a lot of really interesting lies over the years. And I get a daily opportunity to practice one or sometimes a great many of the 12 steps as a result of, you know, growing through this program. I currently sponsor 5 men. The lesson that was taught to me many years ago is that I devote, you know, a meeting night to my sponsees. I take them with me to a meeting. We usually spend, you know, sometimes have dinner beforehand. We spend a pretty healthy amount of time to stay connected, you know, personally, one-on-one, face-to-face, because I develop a relationship with my sponsees that is, you know, two-directional. I get just as much from my sponsees and on occasions more than I feel I give them many times. Because I get to be their mirror and they get to be mine. You know, and I get to relive lessons that I maybe didn't do exactly the way God planned on. You know, and I get reawakened to new ways and different ways to live life in life's terms. You know, and that's really what recovery is to me, is that I get to approach life based on the principles, you know, that are contained in the 12 steps. In my service, and I work on the concepts and my respective traditions of this program. And it's pretty comprehensive. But every single situation in life that I've been confronted with, and I've had quite a few, the answers have lied in, you know, those 36 simple basic rules of living and the underlying principles of each and every one of them. And my story is pretty simple. I mean, I was, you know, the child of a very overbearing, highly controlling father and an artistically inclined, free-spirited, Piscean mother who was the alcoholic and the addict in my family. And I was the eldest. And I found myself in the unenviable position of being between the two, and most of the time being forced to choose in a bizarre range of circumstances throughout my life. And then also was attempting to protect my brother, and ended up at the age of 9 when my mom left our family, becoming the mother, if you will, to my younger brother and the wife to my father. And I don't held him in any way. Do I blame him or do I blame my mother? And I had to work a lot on those two topics to come to understand that that was the hand I was dealt. You know, that was God's plan in whatever form it took. I grew up very quickly in the ensuing years. The problem was is that I had this disease, and I got to learn very quickly in the 4 years or so after my mom left our family that I also suffered from the disease. And I started to practice it. And for the next 20 years, I pretty much went and did everything that, you know, I wanted to in every avenue that I could follow in my life. I managed to almost finish high school. I was rescued by the draft. I did 5.5 years in the military, which taught me how to be a professional drinker, and it kept me away from drugs. Probably extended my run a few more years. I became addicted to morphine as a result of a pretty serious accident while I was in the service. And that was my love, and I pretty much tried every different version of that for, you know, another 15 years after that. I've been to prison 3 times. I've survived prison 3 times. That is E number, a C number, and an N number, which is like the worst of the choices, I guess. And I actually, almost exactly 7 years ago last week, I found my discharge card. I have been done with all of that. I've been given a gift of, you know, a life that does not hold any of those restrictions in it. I managed to somewhat finish college. I had a career as a broker in the stock and commodities business. I made so much money that there was a saying in the 80s is that cocaine's God's way of saying you make too much money. And I can seriously, you know, co-sign that. I was a boardroom hype for many years. The ensuing disabling extent of my disease was such that I could no longer work in that business. So I had an insatiable appetite for money and all the things that came with it. That corrupted my morals to the degree that if I couldn't make it legitimately, I made it illegitimately. And that's what led to me going to prison for my 2nd time. I came out of that, and in only 10 months, after being given the gift of freedom again, I had put it at risk. I was living in Muralist. I had, you know, one more time I'd, you know, talk my way in because I looked good on the outside, not, you know, any reflection of how my insides felt. But I managed to charm my way into another, you know, executive level position. I was back in the spoon in a very, very short period of time. And I found myself on a Sunday morning waking up, walking out of my bedroom into my living room, and there was like 5 people on my living room floor in various states of nod. I had no idea who these people were, and that was my spiritual awakening to the reality of my disease and where I was headed one more time. And I literally ran out the door. I mean, with my wallet, the clothes that I was wearing, and I was gone. I ended up out here on Speedway at a friend of mine's in the film business, and camped out on his sofa, not knowing where I was going, but knowing that I had to go somewhere from where I was at, and not really sure to what degree, you know, I was going to grow or escape from the place that I found myself yet one more time of my own making. Such that 4 days later at 6 o'clock or so in the morning, I am on the beach and watching the waves and the fog and just like trying to get collected. And again, I was seeking something, but again, not really sure what it was. And this guy came over and sat down and a couple benches away and was just kind of like eyeballing me, and I had no clue. And each successive morning for 3 mornings, I was pretty much in exactly the same place at exactly the same time. Well, it's now Sunday morning. It's a little bit before 7. The guy approaches me and offers me a cup of coffee and a cigarette. I'm like, okay, that's cool. And I'm not checking my like, what's this guy doing? Well, in the period of about 20 minutes, I had basically opened up talking to this guy. He'd been the places I'd been. He understood exactly what I was going through. He was talking the talk that we talk around here. You know, he was basically 12-stepping me. I had no clue what that was about at this point in time. The Chips and Dips meeting was going on shortly after that. I saw this collection of people, you know, getting together on the beach. I could see the warmth and the connection that all these people had. And I was attracted, but I didn't know why. I didn't understand the process of recovery. I just knew that they had something that was attractive to me. And he had invited me to join him, and pride and ego got in the way, and I said, no, 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 that's okay. You know, but I didn't move from that bench. I watched that entire meeting go on. I watched everybody laughing and hanging out and hugging and having a good time. And I watched the meeting break up, and he came back again, and he offered to buy me breakfast, and I respectfully declined, and he gave me his number. About 2 weeks later, the reality of the fact that I had no hustle left, I had really nowhere to turn, I wasn't going to go backwards, I found that number at a really opportune time, and I picked it up and I called him. He introduced me to a lady named Sylvia and scheduled me for an appointment at the VA, and for the first time in my life, I sat down and I told somebody the exact gut level, honest truth about who I was, where I came from, what I was about, and the fact that I was thoroughly lost. And spent the next 7 months in a recovery program run by her husband and a bunch of former Synanon counselors who basically broke me down to the core of, you know, who I was, helped me see the part that I played in my life, and helped me to understand the difference between the good person that God was choosing to save inside and the person that I didn't want to be. And that was my introduction to the 12 steps, and that was the beginning of my path in recovery. And it was a marvelous experience, and I was enough of a knucklehead and had enough pride to not quit at that place. You know, I really had a deep degree of willingness to do what it takes around here, and that's what I found at that place. But like I was, you know, sharing earlier, is that our ego has remarkable recuperative properties. And, you know, God showered me with the gifts that we get around here, doing the simple things of suiting up and showing up and acting as if, which is a lot of what I was doing, because, you know, I had a little understanding of the process, and I had a few tools. I was able to put one foot in front of the other and take a little bit of direction, and as a result, my life got better. But I took control at some point during that period, and I decided I was God again. You see, I forgot that it was God-given, and I forgot it was a daily gift, you know, and I shit on that. As a result, it got taken away. And, you know, I can say that today, and I mean, I could go seriously into depth in the things that I've discovered in numerous four steps and fifth steps as a result of being very aware and very honest with myself and others where, you know, I fell short. You know, because it's a really, really simple program for complicated people. And I'm the champion at making it more complicated. You know, I am, as I shared at the beginning, I am my own worst enemy. And now I understand that, and I'm okay with that. As a result, I can grow. Because from self-awareness, you know, comes self-actualization, the ability to be, you know, that person that God intended us to be. And I've come an incredible distance as a result of that. And it's just getting out of your own way. Just that simple. And, you know, I'm blessed now that I get to enjoy three separate areas. And I stay involved in San Gabriel Valley, Santa Clarita Valley, and the San Fernando Valley. I have traveled 23 different countries. I've been to meetings in every one of those. You know, again, I've got my passport back. I have been given a career where the president of the company and every one of the senior officers knows exactly who I am. They know I'm an addict. They know I'm in recovery. They know I've been to prison. But yet I'm a senior manager in that company and I'm trusted. I have a multi-million dollar budget. I have a staff of 5 people. And they fully understand that I am a trustworthy person today. And that I, you know, exhibit that on a daily basis. Got a lot of downs. You know, I've survived some serious personal tragedies in my recovery. And because of the gifts of the tools that are in the steps and because of the people that I've managed to attract and that support me in my recovery and in my quest for growth, I've survived the loss of my father very early in my recovery. And that was the one person I had something to prove to. You know, but I was able to let go with love, and I rest assured knowing that he knew that I was in recovery and that I was again on the right path doing the right thing. And I still have a relationship there that is nurturing and is loving, and that, you know, I do understand that he's on the other side and that he does know that on a daily basis I do my best. That's all that's asked of me. I had that carbon copy relationship that you spoke of, the person that you're madly in love with in recovery and absolutely hate in relapse, was the story that I went down. You know, we separated in the midst of my relapse, and she did not make it back to recovery. She died about 6 months after I had made it back, and I never had an opportunity to bring her back, and I felt responsible, and I held myself accountable for that for quite a while. Took a long time to let go of that. But those were my guilts, and those are my stories, and those are my part in it that I had to come to accept, and that took some time. I've had a lot of joys because I've had, you know, many, many sponsees that I've been able to bring along from various stages. Sometimes, you know, planting a seed in a panel and not knowing that that person heard what I had to say until years later when I meet up with them in a meeting or at a convention. To intensely, I work with a recovery house sponsee almost continuously. And I give a great deal to that because that's what was given to me when I was in the recovery house. I spend 2 nights a week and I take these people out and I stay deeply involved in their early recovery because that's what I feel my responsibility is, to give the gift that was freely given. And all of that reminds me on a daily basis of, you know, I'm just one shot away from being out there in the madness. You know, I'm one shot away from giving it all up and passing on to the other side if God chooses to take me. I want it to be clean. I want it to be resting at the end of my day knowing that, right or wrong or indifferent, I did the absolute best that I could that day and I lived in principle. And that I don't have to watch my back. I don't have to look over my shoulder. I don't have to be ashamed and look at the ground anymore. That I can be entirely okay with the person that I am today. And I can admit when I'm wrong, and I can learn from my mistakes, and I can help another learn from my mistakes as well if they're willing to listen. And that's why I come and I share at meetings, and that's why I make myself available in Narcotics Anonymous, because it gave me a life beyond anything that I would have dreamed of. You know, I can fantasize about a lot of things, but, you know, I'm not a realist, you know, but the reality of my life today is that, you know, I have everything that I need, maybe not everything that I want, but I would not trade any aspect of my life for any of the what I thought was the good stuff from my previous life. You know, no matter how good those highs were, it pales in the comparison of coming in the parking lot, looking across and see Jim light up like, oh, cool, you're here, you know, just knowing that I belong. You know, I don't know a soul in here, really, but I know everybody in here, because we're all one and the same. You know, we have slightly different stories, but the core is that we're good people that made bad decisions, that thankfully have found recovery, and are learning to live a new life. So bottom line. You know, and I'm really glad everybody's here now. So a cool little meeting. Thanks for listening.
More time?